On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, Michael is gone, Nick is back, Gerard and Andrew are also in the studio yet again. Normally, we do like a funny little pun thing, and then we go into the book and our shameless plug. I'm going to start out with the shameless plug. Get our book, We Don't Know Either, puzzle, picture, fill in the blank. Lots of fun. Just get the book. And now, for the main event, we wrote a limerick for you because we talked about poetry in this week's episode. Without further ado, there once was a podcast trivia show.
On this episode, we sink to a new low.
The worst puns you'll hear.
So just have a drink of beer.
And we hope you'll learn lots as we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 361 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Gerard.
I'm Andrew.
Andrew, Gerard are back. Nick, we've replaced you and Michael. We just did a little switcheroo.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, he got up, I sat down. The weird thing about the setup for today is that because they were all you all were all set up earlier doing earlier things, I had to come in, and I'm currently sitting in Michael's seat for the first time ever.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Strange. And it's on the other side of the table too, which is a whole other world.
Like, I've never done a podcast looking at you like face on.
Oh,
like,
I'm so sorry.
Ooh.
They say the table's greener on the other side.
Oh.
It's like recording a podcast in someone else's seat is like the 21st century of walking a mile in someone else's
shoes. Exactly, yeah. That's exactly what it is. You're absolutely right. And his shoes are uncomfortable.
For the record, the greener side joke works because the other side of the table is literally green. So I just wanted to visually say that joke. Yeah,
we'll post a picture of the table. Really.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Oh, and another thing. So 2 weeks ago, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, my interesting fact was about U.S. state songs and specifically Take Me Home Country Roads. I also learned during that research and had a few people come up and talk to me specifically about that fact that one of Florida's state official songs is called Old Folks at Home.
It is. It is.
And I knew that you were from Florida.
As a Florida representative, I can indeed confirm that is correct.
Yeah, but it doesn't have anything to do with everyone retiring down there, right?
No. Okay. Of course not.
It's just a very happy coincidence.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I wanted to point it out.
We'll
to
leave
everybody.
It at that.
Can we pretend that it has something to do with people going down there to retire?
That's 100% what it is.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
That's the beautiful thing about human consciousness. Any reality you want can be yours.
Wow. Hey, we're not supposed to talk about political things on this podcast.
Okay, so let's get into our facts. Nick, since you missed last week, why don't you kick us off?
So you know what, Lindsay? You were talking about states and state songs and things like that. You know what else states have?
People.
Flags.
Ooh.
Each state has its own state flag. And my interesting fact is not about state flags, but it's about country flags. Flags of the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm done for.
You may or may not know this, but the most common three colors on country flags are?
Red, white, and blue.
That is correct. Yeah.
I'm out. See ya.
Yeah. I don't... I don't have exact numbers on those, but they're by far the largest percentage of flags include the colors red, white, and blue.
Does that also include white, blue, and red?
It does. White, blue, and red. Blue, white, and red. Blue, red, and white. All of those combinations in various orders. I think fourth on that list is green.
Yes.
Okay.
But again, for sure. That is not my interesting fact. That is just stuff I'm throwing out because I think I'm right.
Cool.
but a color that is not generally represented on flags is the color purple.
Oh, I was going to say, is it the Grateful Dead tie-dye?
No. So there are only... here's how we're going to do this. Would you like to know how many flags have purple on them? Or would you like to give you some of them and have you name one?
Ooh, he's giving us choice.
Yeah.
He's giving us choice.
It's multiple choice.
Well, I was going through my head and going through country flags that I knew, and none of them were purple.
Same.
So
same.
The odds of me getting a purple flag are slim to none.
Agreed.
Unless I keep thinking. For some reason, my brain keeps going to Argentina's flag because I just think it's pretty.
Yeah. Blue and white.
Yeah. It's a different shade of blue, really.
Right. It's like a baby blue. It's like a Carolina blue, almost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Andrew, what do you feel?
I'm also trying to think about world flags that I know, and I can't think of any that have purple in them. So maybe the latter.
The former. The number.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, all right. So then I guess my fact, and this may or may not be the fact we go with in actual trivia this week.
Oh, cool.
But we'll figure it out afterwards as to which one we're going to go with. How many countries' flags have the color purple.
Well, not a lot. So I'd like to lock in not a lot as my answer.
I definitely want to say it's like 5%. So how many countries are there in total? Like
290-ish.
So definitely 5%. Whatever number that is. I can't do math out loud or math.
Okay, I can. So there are currently roughly 195 countries in the world. There are 193 actual countries, and then two countries that are non-member observer states.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Like, so it's the Holy See and Palestine, right? Are those countries? Are they not countries? It depends on who you ask and what mood they're in for the day and all kinds of things. So we're going with 195 as the actual number. So you're saying 5% of 195?
I'll stick with that. 5%.
That would be 9.75, so we're rounding up to 10.
I
like the 0.75 country.
Okay.
10. We'll say 10.
Just a little country.
Yeah. I'm going way, way, way less than that, and I'm saying 2.
Okay.
I was thinking 3, so I'll, again, Price is Right you on this one. Sorry.
That's fair.
So, Andrew, the Price is Right philosophy is always a good philosophy to go with. Unfortunately, in this instance, Lindsay wins the prize by hitting it exactly on the head at 2. The only two countries that have purple in their flag are the country of Dominica, which is a small Caribbean island nation. And that is it's like a yellow, black, and white cross flag with a green field. And then in the middle is a bird. It's a Cicero parrot, which is native to the island. And the parrot's crest and chest are both purple.
So this is like, it's like hint of purple. It's not like
primary
block of the flag. It's like,
correct,
there's a little bit of purple in there.
Exactly. And then the other one is the country of Nicaragua, which is three bars across. It's blue, white, and blue. And then in the center is a triangle with a mountain range, a sun, and a rainbow across the top.
Ooh.
And the rainbow has purple in it.
Oh, shenanigans.
So, yeah,
hint of purple.
Both of them are a hint of purple.
Those
are the only two flags in the world, country flags in the world, that have purple in them.
Well, when I start my new country, it's going to be just a big purple flag.
That's Gerard to stand. Be. Solid block of purple.
It's funny that you bring up this fact specifically with purple because you weren't on the episode last week, but I was saying very distinctly that I wish purple was more utilized in sports, and now I'm saying I wish purple was more utilized in countries'
flags.
Well, isn't purple like a color of like royalty?
Yes.
Like, why not have a purple flag?
Right. Mm-hmm. You would think somebody would utilize that in some way.
Like Gerard.
I wonder if it's a difficult thing for flag makers and dye to get exactly correct.
Good call.
I know, for example, you know, I went to Temple University and cherry was an official color, but there was no official, you know,
shade of cherry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that there is an HTML code, whatever, that's an official one.
Yeah.
But I had some stuff that looked more maroon and stuff, more things that looked fire engine red. And there was, drove me insane that there wasn't a distinct color. And I bet you that would be a barrier to make a purple flag.
Yeah. Same thing in the Florida State. We have garnet and it looks like maroon. It looks like red.
Right.
So the garnet, it's actual color, but to produce it exactly. So I think that's a good call.
Yeah. I actually have a pretty good segue from this and talking specifically about colors.
Really?
I do. Yeah. So you're talking about things that come in a wide variety of colors. I'm getting married, right? And one of the things that we had to register for was a KitchenAid. And KitchenAids have a wide variety of colors.
They do.
This is something that I'm very excited for because I feel like you really, you know, the marriage license count once you get that KitchenAid. It's like
the cornerstone of the marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like we're thinking about canceling the ceremony, you know, hopefully that arrives if somebody is generous enough to gift that to us. But we had a big, big debate and like a list of brainstorm spreadsheets as to what color KitchenAid we want. Because this is a lifetime investment because KitchenAids are known to last
forever. Generations.
Far longer than most marriages.
Your children's children's children will be baking and using that KitchenAid.
Yeah, well, that's a great lead-in to my actual interesting fact. So KitchenAid celebrated a anniversary in 1994. I won't tell you the amount of years because I think that would give you too many hints.
Okay.
And good old Maud Humes won $7,500, so over $7,000 for having the oldest working model of a KitchenAid at the time.
Ooh.
So KitchenAid, to celebrate their anniversary, did a contest. Hey, we want to know who's got the oldest model of still working KitchenAid.
Mm-hmm.
So Maud ended up winning it, and she won this big prize. So I'd like to know, how old was Maud's KitchenAid? In what year was Maud's KitchenAid?
All right. What year was the contest?
1994.
And what anniversary was it?
Not telling you
that. That could give us clues.
If it was, in fact, one from the first year, we don't know. I know, but you don't know.
Something in my head just wants to say that it would be nice if it was something that was passed down kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm going to say 85 years old.
85 years old, okay.
85-year-old KitchenAid.
Yep. I will tell you that Maud is 91 years old herself.
Okay. In 1994.
In 1994. I do not have whereabouts as of Maud currently.
Okay. Maud, if you're listening, I hope your KitchenAid is still rocking.
Well, yeah. if she was 90 years old in 1994.
We don't need to go into details.
Stop doing math.
This is a happy podcast.
She lived a full life. Yeah.
You know what? I think that's a pretty good secret phrase.
She lived a good life?
She lived a full life.
Okay.
Wait, the KitchenAid or Maud?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, no, that's this.
They're both, yes.
She lived a full life.
There we
go. She lived a full life.
Yeah.
She lived a full life.
She lived a full life. That is your secret phrase. This is the closest thing we've ever done to a memorial service. on the We Don't Know Either podcast.
You heard it here, folks. Episode 361.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd like to know, how old was her KitchenAid to win that contest?
All right. So I'm sure you all have listened to the podcast a little bit, and I have a tendency to babble out loud when I'm thinking on these things. Which,
how dare you?
It works out really well for a podcast format. All right. So it's 1994 was the contest.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what anniversary do we think they were celebrating? It's not going to be like a 37th anniversary, right?
I was thinking like 100th.
I was thinking 100th as well.
Yeah. Okay. So that is, I agree with that. So that's 1894 is the original KitchenAid mixer was made.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense at all unless it was a hand crank.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair.
Right. Okay. So let's take a step down.
Could
then.
Also be a hand crank. We don't know.
It could have been a hand crank, but I'm gonna go with no.
Okay.
So let's take a step down then. So what's lower than 100? That's the 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go with 75th anniversary, and I have to do math now in my head. It's 1915.
Sure.
To 1994 is 75 years. So assuming for a second that would be World War One, during World War One,
right,
post World War One,
right after, yeah, probably,
yeah. So it would be post World War One. So if I'm taking a guess, it's 75 years. I'm going to go with it was one of the first ones off the line.
Okay,
and it was still working.
Okay,
yep.
So I'm going to go. What was the question? 75 years old. What year was it made, or how old was
how
it?
Old was
or
it?
Yeah, I'll go with 75 years old.
Okay,
I'm going to go with 60 years old.
No, Nick, I knew that you would hit this right on the money, and I said that before the podcast.
You did say that, yeah.
I was like, I think, Nick, you're going to get this 100% right, because that's purposely why I didn't give you the anniversary, to make you have to think a little bit harder. But yeah, 75 years old, so they were celebrating their 75th anniversary.
Wow.
They just celebrated their 100th year anniversary in 2019. From what I could tell, they did not run a similar contest.
Right.
But KitchenAid.
Well, they were going to have Maud in attendance, but...
Oh, Maud.
She lived a full life. She lived a full life.
She did live a full life. But yeah, 75th anniversary in 1994. They actually, when they first came out with KitchenAid, it got really, really big in the Navy because they could cook so many things for so many folks all at once. It actually became part of the standard Navy ship building thing to include KitchenAid mixers. And eventually they came out with the commercial product, which is what Maud has. She didn't use the 1919 model regularly. She used a 1930 model G for her normal cooking.
Yeah.
And then they gave her some new stuff, and she was like, why do I
don't
need...
want this?
Yeah. No, specifically, it's quoted in the article from 1994. Maud says, what's wrong with the old ones?
Right, yeah.
When she won the contest, and
if
they
it
gave
ain't
her
broke, don't fix it.
I think that the KitchenAid's being added to the U.S. military, like, standard issue equipment. That explains why our military budget is so overblown.
I wonder, as the American public, can we ask for an itemized,
how much
you spend on the KitchenAids? Yeah. I need to know now.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still happening today, but back then it was the standard equipment, and it actually got its name from one of KitchenAid's executives' wives, who just said, wow, this is the, they brought the mixer
best
home.
KitchenAid.
Yeah, exactly what she said. This is the best KitchenAid, and that's how it got its name. So
So
wonderful.
I am married.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, because I am married, I have a KitchenAid. Or I'm married because I have a KitchenAid. It depends on how you want to look at it, right?
Cornerstone of the marriage.
Honestly, we use it every week.
Mm-hmm.
Every week. And that's in like this modern, like 2000. We're in 2020. And yeah, we definitely use it
every
week.
Well, now, next time you go use your KitchenAid, you got some interesting facts to talk about.
You know what, Lindsay? I'm going to come in to the next meeting we have here in the office, and I'm going to bring in some cake pops that were made specifically from the KitchenAid.
Oh, can I come in that?
You're back. You're back in.
I want some of the K-pops.
I am pumped, and I need to have more food-related facts more often. Okay, Andrew, Gerard, who's got a segue from my fact?
I can take it back to around the turn of the century, around when our friend Maud was born.
Oh, okay. That's great. So, I do want to add that the color that we chose for our KitchenAid after much debate was Bordeaux. So.
Oh yeah.
What color is that?
Red.
It's like a wine-ish.
Wine red.
Yeah.
It's a Bordeaux 1921.
Yeah, it was a big debate. Anyway, so we're going back to the turn of the century with the start of Maud.
Yes. Well, this is slightly pre-Maud, but
this is how we measure time now. Pre-Maud, post-Maud, okay.
Right. BM. Which high school classmate of flight pioneer Orville Wright went on to become one of the most renowned African American poets and writers, and the namesake of a high school right here in Washington D.C.?
Huh.
I have a guess, but I don't need to go first.
Okay. I mean, Gerard?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's a very darn good question there, Andrew.
You haven't been in this area for that long.
I haven't, no. So I don't even know where to Nick style ramble on this one. So I'm just looking at you, and I'm gonna see where your rambling takes us.
Okay. I mean, I know. Okay, so Lindsay, let's work this one out together because you have a guess.
I have a guess.
So there's obviously the Duke Ellington School of Arts that's downtown, but when you're talking about,
we're talking about poets. I'm thinking Langston Hughes.
You're thinking Langston Hughes. Okay. Yeah, it's either Langston Hughes or what? W.E.B. Du Bois.
Du Bois is the one that came to mind.
But I think that was older than Wright, right? Like if Wright's in school,
turn of the century.
Yeah, I think Langston Hughes, I would guess, right, fit that era, but I don't know the exact years.
Dubois, yeah, no, I mean that's when you're talking about African American poets and trivia, there's really only two answers, and Langston Hughes is a good one.
It's just like guessing Taft for a presidential.
That's exactly
question.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's usually Taft.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna lock in. I'm gonna lock in Langston Hughes,
and I'm gonna lock in with Taft.
So neither of you are right.
We were so confident.
I was.
Man.
I was so confident I threw away my guess.
And I expect that Langston Hughes will be a very popular answer to this. The answer is Paul Laurence Dunbar, who is sort of considered the father of African American poetry, at least. Maya Angelou, I mean, was sort of a big fan of his. In fact, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings actually comes from a Dunbar poem.
Interesting.
But Dunbar, he lived here in D.C., worked at the Library of Congress. But in 1890, he was the class president of Dayton, Ohio's Central High School, where his friend and classmate, Orville Wright.
Awesome.
And Orville Wright also, along with his brother Wilbur, one of his early sort of ventures was a publishing company. And they started Dayton's first African American weekly, edited by Paul Laurence Dunbar. So, the more you know.
Too cool.
That is okay. So, two things. One, I just want to make sure I'm not on an island here. Whenever somebody says Orville Wright, for whatever reason, the first thing I think of is popcorn.
Yes, but Rettenbacher.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's no. Okay.
But I'm not alone here.
I wanted to make sure because he said that.
I think that's fair.
Right. Yeah. The second thing, and the reason why I was kicking myself so much when you gave out the answer, is that when I was in high school, back when the dinosaurs were around, my high school was lucky enough to make their way to two high school football championships during the 4 years that I was there. We had a really good team 1 year. We had a couple of guys go to the NFL, and that was the year we were going to win states. No question about it. And we made it all the way to states, and we blew everybody out of the water the whole time. And we ended up losing by one score. It was 4 points in my sophomore year to a.
You don't remember it in distinct detail, do you?
No, but I remember who we lost to.
Mm.
We lost to a team from the Baltimore suburbs the Dunbar Poets.
Oh. Intimidating name for a
football team.
For a football
team.
Very
the
much
Poets.
So.
Yeah.
They'll write you into the ground.
I mean, to be fair, my team was named my school was named after Winston Churchill, so it wasn't exactly a battle of the intimidating Titans.
We'll fight them on the beaches.
Yeah. We'll fight them at Bird Stadium.
Man, I like the name. I like the name Poets for a team. That would be so. There'd be great puns. I'd write a lot of threatening limericks.
A few sonnets, maybe.
Yes.
There once was a team from Philadelphia.
Side note: recently, from one of my hockey teams, I got on a big limerick kick, and I wrote them all limericks. So I'll send some along.
Okay.
Nice.
So, Gerard, I'm sorry. Once again, you are the last fact, bringing up the caboose of the show.
You know, I'm okay with being the caboose. I'm used to it.
The caboose is very popular.
It's popular, and you know, it's important, darn it.
It's important, and it's the most fun to say.
It is. Caboose. Caboose. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about time periods, so I have a time period. I guess that's a good segue.
I'm sorry, was this pre-mod, post-mod?
Oh, she lived a good life. She lived a full life. She lived full life. Get those bonus points, people. All right. So since the golden age of flying, within 1 inch, how many inches of legroom on average have economy passengers lost?
I think I want to know why you went with the time period
instead of the flight thing.
What's that?
My
goodness.
He was still thinking popcorn.
I was still thinking popcorn. That would have been a great segue. Can we like rewind and like pretend that moment happened?
Technically, we can, but no.
But we're not going to.
Yeah. Okay. So
Caboose
anyway,
strikes again.
So Orville, you know, probably had a lot of leg room because you know there weren't really seats on his.
No, there weren't seats. I think he was lying down.
Yeah. He had nothing but leg room.
Right.
So what's infinite minus? That's
to the current number. Right.
Yeah. Which is not.
I believe it's still infinity.
Yeah. I think the formula is infinite. Minus not enough equals
equals infinity.
Answer. Yeah. So I'm going to lock that in as my formula.
I was going to say not enough was going to be my answer.
Not enough.
So it's my wife is 5'5", mm-hmm. and she's like, I don't understand why you have such a problem on planes. And I'm like, I'm not even that big. I'm 6 foot tall, and mm-hmm. I don't fit in the seats. And mm-hmm. this is wrong on so many levels. Like I can't imagine if an actually large person had to get on a plane. Mm-hmm. That seems like torture.
Yeah, I got a large femur, so that bone, you know, really jives into the seat in front. It's not fun. It's mm-hmm. not fun. They need to be bigger seats. But you're talking inches, so I'm going to say 6 inches.
Okay.
I think that's like a very significant chunk of space to have to cut down. And I feel, well, it could even be more than that. You could probably have feet more. Because back when flying first started, everybody would, you know, dress up to the nines. And it was a very bougie class.
It was an event.
Experience.
It was an event.
Exactly. People dress up to go to the airport. Now I'm like, mm-hmm. if I'm not wearing leggings, ugh, something's wrong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sweatpants all the way.
Yeah. So actually, I'm going to revise my answer. I said 6 inches originally, but I think I'm going to go with 12. I think it was a full foot that we've lost.
Wow. Okay. It feels like it.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, what do you got?
I'm actually going to, I think I'll go more than a foot. I think I'll go 18 inches.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I am just to be contrarian here, I'm going to go in the other direction. I'm going to say people have gotten bigger, and while they have removed some space, it's not nearly as much as we think it is.
Okay.
Like, it's become such a trope now to complain about it
mm-hmm.
that we've actually lost sight of the reality of the situation. So I'm going to say it's like 5 inches.
Okay. All right.
So close to my original guess, which I'll be mad inevitably if that's correct that I changed it.
All right. The actual answer is 8 inches.
Oh,
8 inches.
Right.
Economy class passengers have lost up to 8 inches of legroom and 2 inches of seat width since the golden age of flying.
Yeah.
There's also the armrests are super narrow.
Mm-hmm.
They kept making that smaller and smaller, which allows for increased number of passengers per flight.
But you get rid of enough of it, you can put in a whole nother column
exactly.
of seats.
And see, my problem is I'm 5'6". I'm not that tall, but definitely the width. Though, I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy. A lot of people think I play ball. I didn't play ball. I was not good at sports ball. But the 2 inches of width, I'm just like, I feel that sometimes. Like, I'm just like, ooh, okay, here we go. We're flying to San Francisco. This is 5 hours. Okay, here we go.
This is terrible.
And the other guy is like fighting me for elbow room on the armrest. I'm like, stay away from me.
I lean into that. If someone's on the armrest and I'm like, hey, we're going to share this now.
Oh, we're going to be friends.
There is a very standard etiquette that all people should follow or be shot while on planes.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't think you can say that.
No,
you
that's what
that.
It has to be. The person in the window seat gets the window. The person in the aisle seat gets the aisle, and the person in the middle gets both armrests. Because both that's all
rests?
They have. Yes, they get left and right. Because the window person gets the left one, the aisle person gets the right one, and the only thing that the person in the middle has is the armrest.
That's a social contract I'm willing to sign. Because, yeah, you got stuck with the middle seat. Who wants the middle seat?
Right.
Let's be nice and say, hey, bro, you can have the armrest.
Exactly. You're going to have the aisle so you can stick your feet out into the aisle to get a little bit more reg room, and you're going to steal the left armrest from a person who has nothing.
Yeah.
He has nothing in this world. Can't you give him something?
Oh.
Well, that's very generous of you. Very generous. I don't believe that you give them the armrest, though, if you're in the window or the eye. I don't know if you follow that.
You have a survival of the fittest mentality? Whoever can throw the most elbows?
throwing bows. Okay, but we got to wrap up this episode. But yes, if you want to participate in that contract on planes, that's something that we can lobby for together, people.
Yes.
And District Trivia does not advocate shooting anyone on planes or elsewhere. Just want to put that little disclaimer.
Yeah. No shooting at all. Just across the board.
Yeah. Unless you're shooting your shot, because don't throw it away. It's a bad Hamilton reference. Okay. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Gerard.
I'm Andrew.
And we don't know either.
Bye.